Tuesday night. Tuesday night. Here we are again. Tuesday night. It is March.
It is March, yeah.
This is Hawkeyes. I didn't have a fun intro this time, but, you know, we're here. We're happy to be here. And these are your hosts, Keith and...
Jothan over here.
So, great night. Great night it is. You know, I wanted to come out with something fiery. I wanted to come out with something spicy, but I'll be honest with you, I still got that Ryerson game in the back of my mind. I do. You know, I will admit, unfortunately, I was unable to be there because I had class. You know, student athlete, of course.
Student first. Never forget it. Never forget it.
But, you know, I made a way to make sure I watched that game. I put it on my laptop and, you know, I'm not going to advocate for this because, you know, never do this. You know,
never,
first.
Never do that.
Never, absolutely not. But I had to watch. Yeah, this is like must see basketball. You know,
what was it? 40-something years?
Oh my God!
You gotta be a part of that.
I had to.
And you know how crazy the game was.
Oh, tell me about that atmosphere, because I couldn't.
Oh, honestly, like I'm honestly gonna come out here and say nobody has that same energy like Laurier. Like I'm serious. You think I'm kidding, but I'm dead serious, man. Like, it was loud. Like, our gym, we don't have the biggest, like, little stadium in there. We don't. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty decently sized, you know, we're small. We're a small school, but boy, can we make noise. Let me tell you.
You know what I really want to point out, too, is something that I was really proud of that I seen from photos from Jess Media Photography on Instagram. I've seen a lot of Laurier football guys out there cheering. And you know, that really makes you proud to see another sport that is, I don't want to say, you know, a parent sport, if you will, because, you know, every sport is equally loved and stuff like that. But football does get a lot of notoriety. There's no denying that. But to see them come out and support that men's basketball team and, you know, give them the love that they deserve for being the successful team that they are, you know, that's amazing to see.
100%. And, you know, for me, you were there too. Mm-hmm. We were on that Yates Cup winning team.
We were.
And I can't tell you the amount of basketball guys that were out there supporting the football team.
They rode the bus out in that cold.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. So it is not just football guys, you know, showing the love for basketball guys. It's not just the women's basketball team out there showing the love. It's not the lacrosse team. It's everyone. Mm-hmm. It is everyone. This is honestly a one school mentality. And it is awesome to see. You know, a lot of sports going on this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of sports. A lot of sports ending, that is true. And with a little note on that, with sports ending, that does mean we are into interview season. So do be sure to be on the lookout as we got some hot interviews certainly lined up for you.
Upcoming. Oh, yeah. You know, Keith and I love this show.
Absolutely.
For the reason that, yes, we highlight Laurier sports, but we highlight the athletes as well. Mm-hmm. The athletes are really what make the games awesome, make the atmospheres must-see. It's really what the stories are about. Absolutely. They're about the athletes. So we love to highlight the athletes, you know, hear their stories, hear what they have to say about it. That's what makes the show awesome.
Exactly. And you know what? I feel like it just adds that extra dimension of connection. You know, you just get to feel like... Though they may be out on the court or on the football field or on the ice rink, whichever, you know, platform you may have, they're still another student. They still walk the same halls that we do. You know, they still go to the same classes that we do, and they're just another person. And, you know, it's great to appreciate their accomplishments that they have in their sport and to really highlight the moments that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly looking forward to that. Again, just our aforementioned basketball, as we were talking about, and just in case there's any confusion out there, we are speaking about the playoff basketball game that happened at the Laurier Gym against your Golden Hawks versus the Ryerson Rams, where Ryerson emerged victorious by a score of 99-84. We're going to get a full breakdown about that. Briefly, we just want to make sure we mention that Ali So was named Athlete of the Week. I mean, what else could we say about Ali So, Jothan?
I feel like we've said it.
We've said everything.
Remarkable season this year. Extremely talented athlete. Mm-hmm. Somebody who, you know, the big stage comes, and later in the season, he got better.
He did.
It's easy. You know what I always say? I'm going to go quick with this.
Get it.
I always say, you know, anybody can do something once.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay for someone to do something once.
Mm.
You pay for someone to do it consistently.
Oh, I love that.
That's what you want. That's what changes. That's what differentiates the okay athletes to the great athletes.
Oh, I love that.
It's consistency. And this is a guy who I believe he averaged like 30-something points this year.
He was second in the OUA with the average. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's phenomenal. So you pay for that consistency, and Aliso brought that consistency every night. And he brought it against one of the best teams in the nation with the Ryerson Rams, where your Golden Hawks put up a real good fight. And we'll get into that later. But, you know, he rose to the occasion. Unfortunately, they did not win the game. But he definitely rose to the occasion, and he is a much deserving athlete of the week. It's been a phenomenal week for him, but definitely a phenomenal season on a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, Joe Then said it all beautifully. You know, the consistency, that's what you want to watch, and that's what excites you as a fan. You know, I think about other professional sports and, you know, a couple of big name athletes that come to my mind, you know, for basketball to continue on that trend, NBA, you know, a guy like Russell Westbrook. You get not necessarily the best player, so to speak, but you get consistently the effort. And to see that effort on a night-in, a night-out basis is what drives the ticket prices up. It's mm-hmm. what brings the fans into the stadium. And likewise, pardon me, with Aliso, you see effort and determination and just a passion for the game, much like Westbrook, if you will,
yeah.
that is just admirable from afar. And I love seeing that. And, you know, it emulates in the fans as you see all, again, a lot of football players and people from the community coming out to support the team because they just love to watch basketball and they love the excitement.
Yeah.
So huge kudos to him for that.
Much deserved. I mean, this is a guy, this is his seventh time winning this award.
Mm-hmm.
You think it might be easy. Oh, it's just a school award. It's hard.
Absolutely.
I've never done it.
If only.
I wish I could have done it. A lot of people have never been able to do that. So it is an impressive award to have. So definitely kudos to him.
Absolutely. A couple of things to do a quick rundown on. We did have a men's hockey player overseas playing in the, excuse me if I get this incorrect here, Universiade. That's how you say. I want to say it in Italian for some reason. I don't know why. The way it's pronounced.
Universiade?
Don't you want to say it in Italian when you read it, though? Like it's insinuating say it in Italian.
I'm, no.
Anyways, we had a Golden Hawk playing that. Hanlon.
Danny Hanlon. Oh yeah, gosh, Danny CTE Hanlon.
Comes at the worst moments.
Crazy enough, the guy's in my class.
Oh.
Had a group project with him.
Oh.
So, fun. Just as a quick story before we get in.
Love
so stars. I have a group project with the guy. And, you know, I'm sitting there and he goes, hey, guys. He messaged us in our WhatsApp little group going, hey. So I've been selected for Team Canada, so I won't be able to be here. I'm flying out to Russia, and we're like, damn, guy's flying out to Russia all of a sudden.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, obviously it's all congratulations for him being out there, being able to do that kind of thing. And, you know, he had some great success.
Absolutely, too, scoring two goals in the, I want to call it a shellacking of Great Britain. The final score was 12-0. And, you know, the thing about international hockey, I don't know, maybe some of you have played, you know, the video game NHL 18 or 19 or whichever version you have. Just to give you an idea, if you ever go in, like, the ratings, you know, you'll see, like, Canada. Well, I guess actually because of the last Olympics, Canada may not be as high because it's not the NHLers anymore. But we'll go, like, NHL 13 or 14, you know, something older.
Okay.
And you'll see, like, the premier teams, you know. I don't want to say countries because I don't want to get any favoritism here, but you'll see the premier teams. So Canada, USA, Russia, Sweden, Switzerland at some points. You know, those teams will just be stacked. And we're talking about like 95 ratings on offense, defense, goaltending because, you know, they just have NHL players and they're phenomenal. But when you go down to a team like Great Britain or France or even I think Pakistan got in there 1 year, you know, when you get to those kind of teams that aren't in there consistently, just the talent level is a pretty wide gap.
There is a disparity.
There is.
The league is not even.
It's not. It's, you know, and you see it in instances like Again, the Olympics, the aforementioned Olympics, the women's hockey, too, is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
The finals, you can almost put pen to paper that it's going to be USA versus Canada because it's just the best competition.
Even the World Juniors. The World Juniors, you see the massive drop-off. And this is no exception.
Yeah, absolutely not. And, again, kudos for Great Britain for being out there and, be able to hold their ground for 12 goals. I mean, it's hard to have a lot of morale after something like that. I mean, especially in the second period where they scored five goals, and you're down 7-0. I mean, you're down. It's difficult. Difficult to say the least.
It is.
Because, what goaltenders you want to go in? Like, oh my God, you're already down 6-7-0. I want to go in there and just take the crease and just get another 6 goals in there.
The Canada lost. Canada won 12-0, right?
Yeah, I'm funny.
Know how many shots they had?
Tell me that. How many shots they had?
They had 66 to Great Britain's 11.
Like, yeah.
It's a different stratosphere, man.
It is a different stratosphere.
It's like, so you're a satellite orbiting, and they're in the mantle. Like, they're below the crust. They're below your feet. Like, it's a very different level.
Yeah, and it makes me think, could I do that? Could I be out there in Great Britain?
No, you cannot.
I'd like to audition.
You could not.
I think if I throw on the skates, maybe there's a chance. At this point, sure, they're all great players over there in Great Britain. Kudos for them coming out. And, next time when they see our guy, Danny Hanlon, they'll recognize greatness and just, give him the path. I mean, clearly they did. So, it reminds me of a story in NHL. It was a game between the Winnipeg Jets and I want to say this was when they were called the Phoenix Coyotes. And this game was just, it was an absolute goal fiesta. Everybody was scoring a goal this game. The goalies couldn't stop a beach ball. The final score in this game, get this, was 9-8. 9-8. So the question that everyone asked afterwards is, okay, you won the game. It's fantastic. But how do you feel? How do you feel after a game of 9-8? Let me tell you who was just burying themselves in the deepest hole they can find is the guys in between the pipes. Because are you proud you won? You get a W on your stats, but your goals against average is just torn. Just torn.
You know what I'll say, Kiefer? Sometimes things are messy, but a win is a win. Doesn't matter how you win. Doesn't matter how ugly. It doesn't matter how awful. A win is a win. And anytime, we have a Laurier student. I was going to even say alum, but he's not even an alum. He's a student.
Still
literally have class with him. Mm-hmm. Definitely a student. who's able to have success being able to put, goals in net to represent their country.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rare experience.
Absolutely.
That is a rare experience. I would never have that experience. So I just, put our congratulations out. They do have more games to come, so definitely keep an eye on following that. But always we want to recognize our Golden Hawks that are doing awesome things, like representing Team Canada. We're going to switch to the middle distance, where there wasn't a meet since the OUA Championship, since we talked about it last week. But what we did want to mention is that Sydney Patterson is going to be at the U Sports Championships this coming weekend, I believe. Yeah, this coming Friday through to Sunday. She's going to be there this coming weekend in Manitoba. So she's going to be representing Laurier. So definitely go cheer her on while she goes does her thing, She's going to be out there with the for the women's 1500 meter.
1500 meter. So that's I'm going to put in perspective. You're talking about an average track.
It's 400 meters.
400 meters. Okay, so you're doing that.
I think it's 3.5 times.
No.
Three and three quarters, I think.
That's right, 3 3/4. So then you stop at a different section. You don't stop at where you start.
No, yeah. You always end at the same line. You always end at the finish line.
So then how is it 3 3/4?
Because you start at the 3 quarters. It's like the 200 meter. They don't start. You always start wherever, so you can finish at the one line.
So you wouldn't want to finish where you start, is what you're saying.
No, because then you would not have finished the race.
Okay.
You would still have another 3 quarters to go.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to pay attention to all these sports more and trying to get myself more intuition with it. But there's just still some areas that are just kind of foggy.
In fairness, the reason why I used to do track in high school.
That's why it is.
I'm very accustomed. You know, I did it grade 9, 10, 11. Didn't do it 12, you know, did some slow pitch.
Oh, slow pitch days were fantastic, let me tell you.
If it's not baseball, it was slow pitch.
Oh, baby.
But, so, I've had some experience, you know, watching a lot of these sports. This is why you got me here, man. This is why you got me here. So I can fill those gaps. You got more hockey knowledge, I got more of this knowledge. It's all good.
That's what we need. That's why we bounce it off each other.
But if you have the opportunity, definitely go check it out. You can follow it actually at U Sports Live. You can follow all of the results, so definitely make sure you're tuning in, just keeping up, just to make sure, you know, we're supporting Sydney as she's out there, you know, competing at the national level, which it's where you want to be, it's what you train for, so kudos to her for being there, and, you know, this is going to be awesome.
Oh, cannot wait. Speaking of cannot wait, I think it's about that time, isn't it? It's about that time to get into the game.
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
Okay.
Bit of a... You know, the game, when I think of the game, so just want to make sure everyone is on the same page here. Laurier faced off against the Ryerson Rams at the OUA semifinals for men's basketball. Mm-hmm. And this was a home game at the Waterloo Athletic Complex Gym, where unfortunately your Golden Hawks fell to the Ryerson Rams with a score of 99-84. Mm. You know, Laurier did put up a good fight, making it close at times, but unfortunately was unable to secure and just push to that next level. They were, however, led behind Ali So, who played 40 minutes and had 26 points of his own, which was a team high, a game high, 26 points. So congratulations to the men on their season, but we're going to talk about the game. So Kiefer, what were your first impressions at just looking at this game? Kind of, and I know you weren't able to be there. You had class, but
I had the bird's eye view.
I know you were watching on your computer. You were tuned in. I was there, so I'll fill in after. But,
of course.
You know, what was your initial thought when watching this game?
Well, first thing I thought of right away is I seen the center on Ryerson. And, you know, I'm just thinking, like, that's a tall dude.
Yeah.
That's a tall dude. And you know what? I just want to touch upon that real quick. Through some other information that was presented to us today, we did learn, in fact, that center from Ryerson was actually scouted from the States and flown in by the Ryerson coach to come play for the team specifically, and is apparently on NBA draft boards. So take that in. They played against a potential NBA draft pick right there. Not necessarily a lottery pick, but a draft pick in its own. And, you know, quite frankly, what you saw from Ryerson was talent, consistency, and an ability to knock down the three. And, you know, we talked about it the previous week about if Laurier can come in and just bring that energy. You know, it's not necessarily going to be about knocking down threes or twos or, you know, dominating one specific part of the game. It's just about having that energy and being consistent with that energy. And quite frankly, in the first half, you know, the fans were out there. They were cheering. They were rambunctious. It was so fun to watch. Yeah, I could feel that energy, you know, coming off the crowd. But Laurier kind of got off to a bit of a lull in the second quarter, as Ryerson came out storming to 33 points, and as opposed to Laurier only putting up 18. But that third quarter, you know, that's a third quarter that they're going to put in the history books. It's not necessarily about the fact that they didn't win. It's about the fact that they were down by 25 at one point.
It was something like that.
25. And, you know, when you're down by that point, I have this saying that when you go into the fourth quarter, you need to be within 10. If you're not within 10, then you really don't have much of a chance.
It makes it tough.
Yeah. So to be down by 25 in the third quarter, you have a real gut check time. You're at home. You have a humongous crowd behind you, one of the biggest crowds there is for the playoff game. You're playing against a top team like Ryerson. And, you know, you have some players like Shadir Tenney who are going to be retiring after this and, you know, moving on to other things. And, you know, it's really about, how do I receive this? You know, how do I go from here?
It's do or die.
And quite frankly, what Laurier did was they found themselves. They found their energy. They found their team. And I mean, I'm talking about a couple big plays. You know, one that jumps to my mind right away is that humongous dunk by Ben Stevens in the paint on Ryerson's side. That
was
an absolute energy. You know, everyone felt that. Everyone felt that. Again, I'm from the bird's eye view, so I'm just seeing from the top. But I felt that, and I wasn't there. And just seeing that, everyone's clapping, everyone's getting pumped, their fist pumping. You know, they're starting to take three-point shots. It's getting knocked down. The ball movements, it's fantastic. You know, they finished that third quarter outscoring Ryerson 35-22. And, you know, if the game is going to have a narrative, it's the fact that Laurier would not quit. They were down by a high score to a team that, quite frankly, outranks them. You know, they're a very respected team at that. They have, you know, NBA draft prospects, as we found out today. And they did not quit. They did not let that narrative dictate their game. They played their style, gave their energy, and just gave it their all. And for that is extremely admirable.
Yeah, and I absolutely love what you thought, what you touched on there. It's tough when you look back on a game and, you know, you feel, you know what? It slipped away. This game felt like it was gone. Like it was done. It was Ryerson was looking like at halftime, it looked like, okay, what are we going to, who are we going to put in? Are we putting in this their deep bench players? The game's over. Time to think about Carlton. And Laurier came out of that second half. And that speaks volumes to who you are as a team. You know, when you're smack dab in the face of defeat and everything is there to be lost, there's like a desperation. And Laurier, they came out with that attitude that it's now or never, and we're just going to lay it out on the table. We're ballers. We deserve to be here because we earned it, not because it was given. Absolutely. And they honestly were able to put together, I'd probably say about a quarter and a half of high-paced, efficient, entertaining basketball. Immediately, they smelt that little blood in the water from Ryerson. You know, were they coming off the gas bottle? Laurier said, fine, then we'll take it. We'll drop 35. It doesn't matter that the quarter prior to that, Ryerson had dropped 33 on them. They said, you know what? We can do it. We deserve to be here. And Laurier brought the game within 5 points from that. Unfortunately, they were never able to really take it over that hump. And that's the challenge when you play a team like Ryerson that is built so top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They're thoroughly a good team.
Oh, yes.
And you know, they have a very prestigious coach. I believe he coaches for the national team as well.
Yep.
So a very qualified coach. Not saying that Laurier's coach is not qualified whatsoever.
He's on the come up for sure.
Exactly. And you can see with where the program has been taken in the last couple years, it has been put on notice. That Laurier is a basketball school. I think over the last couple of years, a similar thing has happened with football.
Mm-hmm.
That Laurier, it can be a football school. We are an athletic school, and we can thrive. And this basketball game really showed that we can have these moments where we can put something special together. Unfortunately, it didn't go entirely the way we wanted it, but you know, you don't want to think about it as what's coming up for next season. You really do sometimes want to bask in the season and what it was, but it is a good building block that you can really turn it on and you can be something special, and you can hang with some of the best teams in the nation, specifically Ryerson, who is a team that has won a Wilson Cup, that is no stranger to the Final Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere where Laurier is looking to be. So it's a good step to saying, hey. But, I mean, you put four quarters together instead of one and a half, and Laurier has a chance of coming out with that victory.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I feel like a lot of the narrative that surrounds Laurier as a whole, you know, for all their sports, is that whole don't believe in us, we're going to do it ourselves mentality. You know, that whole they're going to get a big lead on us, and they're going to coast. You know, Western in the Yates Cup, Ryerson in this playoff game against you know, the Laurier basketball team. It's just that mentality of It's me versus the world. It's my team, my family versus the world is something that is just, it's so lethal, I find, because you just got nothing to lose. You put it all out there on the court or field or whatever platform you are on, and you just, you play your heart out. You pour your heart out. And again, as Joe Thanaffer mentioned, you know, they got within five. They were that close. And, you know, looking at it, a really big de facto for me that was the difference is Ryerson was just lethal from three. You know, live and die by the three. And Ryerson, they were resurrected by the three.
Oh, my goodness. It was a bailout. It was a bailout for sometimes lack of offensive movement through the sets. You know, they shot 45% on the night.
Well, a big one, too. Jaden Frederick shooting 6 for 8. Three-pointers is just deadly.
And what are you going to do when you got a guy shooting that's elite for an NBA status?
Oh, absolutely.
So it's tough. Laurier didn't shoot poorly from three.
No.
Maybe a little bit below where they would have liked to seen it, just around, 30%. You'd probably want to see it closer to maybe 35. But, I mean, Ryerson absolutely... They shot out of the gym.
And take into account, too, a lot of the threes from Laurier came within that third quarter to fourth quarter sequence. Yeah. Just everyone had the stroke. Everyone did. And it was just beautiful to watch. You know, and, you know, not to pick favorites or anything like that, but one of my favorite sequences is when Shadir Tenney entered the game and knocked down a couple of huge threes. You know, granted, it wasn't that they got within five or ten at that point in time, but he just brought that energy. You know, and we're talking about a player right here who's done. He's done basketball, university athletics. You know, maybe he may pursue something, you know, after school, and that's his business. You know, I hope he does because he's a phenomenal player to watch. But to have a guy like that who has that kind of reputation, he has that kind of love from the fans, the team, the coach, everybody to come out and just have that kind of an impact is phenomenal to watch. And again, it's just you gave it your all, and your all right now isn't there. But it's pretty darn close. It's really darn close.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, you know, you're talking about Shadir's big shots. Matt Minutillo came in the game, and he had a few threes that were absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, we want to highlight some players here. Ben Stevens, he put together a quality game against a Ryerson team that has some quality bigs as well.
Oh, they do.
Ryerson is not a team that is guard heavy. They do have big men that can play that will, you know, occasionally shoot their shot. So it is tough when you got to defend out that far, especially with your big men. Mm-hmm. But I think on top to bottom, Laurier, they played very well. It's amazing when you kind of, you're there, you're in the atmosphere, you're seeing how much the whole school is there to support. And it's those ones where you just wish you could just have a dub out of it so you can get that kind of storybook ending to it of going to the Final Eight, you know, getting to the Wilson Cup, all of that. Unfortunately, it's not this year. But it's definitely a solid building block. And one thing to remember is, Kiefer, do you know what year Ali So is in?
Second year.
He is a second year. Mm-hmm. This is the season he had coming out of the rookie years are tough. He still had a good rookie year. But now it's going into third year. It's his team. It's up to him now to just run it and go, because the sky's the limit for this guy. We're gonna go as far as he takes us, and you know, you're looking after a run like this. What does that say for recruiting, things like that?
Absolutely. And you know, another player to highlight is Natori Habimana, was really starting to really starting to come into his own at the end of the season there, and he had some really big games. One game comes to mind. I think it was the fourth or third last game of the season. He dropped 27, went hand in hand with Ali So, and just really willed the team forward. And you know, again, that's another young player, I believe within a second year too. And, you know, when you have those guys, you have a young core like that who is prolific, you know, they're efficient and, you know, energetic. It just, the potential for this team is just through the roof. Pardon me, notorious third year. Even still, back for another season. And the potential for this team is just through the roof. And again, you know, you could sit here and pick apart little stats. Like, for example, you know, the free throws percentage for Ryerson was 95 compared to Laurier's 78, which isn't even bad. Isn't even that bad. And again, 3-point, the aforementioned 45.7% to Laurier's 30.3. Field goal percentage for Ryerson, 49.2 to Laurier's 40.6. You know, there is a gap in the numbers, but they're not to a point where you can't reach it. They're not to a point where Laurier is unable to say that we can hang with these guys, because they can. They proved it. And
it's just about having, you know, one more phenomenal quarter.
Exactly. One more shot.
Exactly. And it's not that much you're asking for. I think for me, something that really does jump out is turnovers. Ryerson had 16. Laurier had 13. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive number. Points leading to turnovers. I would hope that Laurier would have more. So we were 19 to 13. The bench points, slightly less, but 4 points is the difference. So Ryerson has 19 bench points and Laurier has 15. So you're getting good production out of your bench. And then second chance points. Laurier had 16 second chance points. So that's getting the offensive rebound. That's your favorite thing is getting in there, watching big man work.
Oh, yes.
And giving their team another shot at getting those points. Absolutely. Laurier had 16 of those. Ryerson had 8. Mm. Now, some of that's going to come because Ryerson hit a few more shots.
They did.
But it is important to know, you know, those second chance buckets are putting things away where they belong.
Oh, absolutely.
It's tidying up a possession.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that right there. So, again, to celebrate the Laurier season and to really bask in the moment, and, you know, something actually, if Joe then could speak upon this real quick, you know, as the game as a whole, it is a monumental moment, you know, to be in that position. You have that whole crowd around you. And, you know, Joe then himself got to experience that at Laval when he got to go for the game that followed the Yates Cup victory for the Laurier Gold
Hawks. UTEC.
The UTEC Bowl, yeah. Pardon me. And just if you could just speak upon that moment real briefly about just that atmosphere and that vibe, just being that moment.
We can talk about it a little later, but that was my first dress for a football game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you feel the success and you feel it on your back. And being able to be there, you just know, you know, it's not just the people that are there, the few people that made the 10-hour trip to be there. It's, you know, your whole school's rooting for you. Mm-hmm. You know your whole community is rooting for you. Heck, you know people in your province are rooting for you. Mm-hmm. So it's more than just being in the environment, hearing the fans, hearing all that, being there and being, you know, I'm an athlete that has worked hard to be here. It's, there's so much outside of that that makes you proud to be there because you can feel the support from all around. And it's an awesome experience.
Oh, absolutely. So again, to you know, congratulations to the Laurier men's basketball team on a phenomenal season. We certainly look forward to their upcoming season next year, as it is sure to be a great one. We're going to go on a short break. And then after our break, we got something a little interesting we're going to try. Jonathan and I are going to interview each other. So be sure to tune in for that.
To kick off our interview season, why not show us how it's done? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Teach you a little bit about our hosts, you know? Let you guys know about the inside scoop. So catch you guys in a bit.
You all set?
So, you know, think about it. A lot of great duos in the world. That's one that just happened right there.
Drake and me. I know this does nothing to do with Laurier Sports. Has everything to do with Laurier Sports.
Of course.
I'm so glad they squashed that beef.
I love it.
Oh, man. They are so good together.
It's not embarrassing to say I like Meek Mill again.
Right? Like, you remember how There was even the point where, like, Raptors fan, like, the Raptors players, they had to renounce Meek Mill, and they couldn't play Meek Mill in the locker room because Drake was the ambassador.
Oh, my God.
So, you know how painful that would be? You know how hype Meek Mill music is for a pregame?
Man, Lord Knows is the best hype song I've ever heard in my life. Dreams and Nightmares, Rico's good.
Oh, my goodness. Like, when Drake and Meek Mill hop on a track, it is something special.
Mm.
So the fact that the world is able to be graced with that again, that is what we need.
Oh, absolutely.
It is what we need, man.
Absolutely. Speaking of things we need, Big Rap's comeback against the Houston Rockets, you know.
That is currently happening right now.
Yeah, let the world know. Let the world know.
I just want you to know that Kiefer and I are really committed to our show.
Of course.
That, you know, we are sports fans. That's why we do this show.
Mm-hmm.
We're sports fans. And yet we will miss this Houston-Toronto game that we both know we would love to be sitting there watching.
Of course.
But we have a commitment to you, the Absolutely. Fans, to be out here and doing this show. So Absolutely. We are going to do the show.
Absolutely. And, you know, as aforementioned, dynamic duos, I like to think we got a pretty pretty dynamic duo in this here room, Jonathan. I like to think that a little combination.
Is that what you think?
I would like to think that. I think that when we play ball, we run a good little pick and roll action.
Yeah.
You like to find me the paint. I like to do what I got to do in the paint. You know, when I'm on a good day. So, Mr. Jonathan Sal Farley, that's his last name.
That is my last name.
So the folks can back home can know. We are going to interview you today, sir. So, Jonathan, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
What is there to say, really? You know, I'm Jonathan. I'm a Cambridge guy, so a local guy, as a lot of people will say. You know, I really did grow up in Toronto, like Mississauga, and then we moved to Cambridge. So I kind of went to high school, so I consider Cambridge, you know, kind of where I'm from. And, you know, started playing football in high school. Then, you know, got my acceptance to Laurier. I tried out for the Laurier team. You know, I've been having a ball. You know, did that for 3 years. Called it quits this year, you know. Hung it up, retired, you know, trying to save the bones, save the joints. But yeah, you know, it's been a good time here at Laurier. Just having fun, you know. Now I got the radio show with you. We've been doing that for about a year and a bit.
It's been a year and a bit.
So, you know, it's a good time. It's awesome to be involved at Laurier. It's really a little home and a community, and it's been somewhere to thrive, and I love it.
That's fantastic. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm always curious. Because, you know, you think you know a story, but there's always a chapter that's just yet to be written, and those are the most interesting chapters.
Mm.
So, you know, you mentioned football, and you know, the people are always curious, what is it that you love about football the most that really got you into the sport, that really propelled you to want to say, I want to give this a shot?
So I never really wanted to play football. My house was a big soccer.
The football.
Football.
Yes, you
know? Yes. Big soccer household where, you know, that's what we did as kids. And, you know, it was baseball too. Huh? Big Roy Holiday fan back when we were kids.
R.I.P.
So, you know, that was an awesome time. And then, you know, I kind of was like, you know, I want to play football. I saw it. I had an uncle who was like super into football. And I was like, that kind of seems like a cool sport. Seen it once or twice, you know. And I was like, you know, that's something I want to do. And I was really young. And, you know, I wanted to go in Mississauga. I wanted to try out for the team. And the coach was like, you know what? The kid's too light. I don't want him to get hurt. He's too light. He has to be 60 pounds to play. And then my brother, we moved to Cambridge. So I didn't play in Mississauga, and then moved to Cambridge, and my brother kind of did high school, and he starts playing football. So I was like, that's so cool. I want to play football. So grade 9, I was like, you know what? First day of school, show up, and I'm ready to do it. So lost as ever. And that was my first experience playing football. I was thrust into playing quarterback. So super mental position for a kid who knows nothing about football.
Oh, my gosh.
I really knew nothing about football. So it was really starting from scratch with me. And, you know, I've been loving it ever since. You know, you grow, you learn new things, you learn new techniques. You have all kinds of different coaches. Played city ball as well. And that's where it really tests you to, you know, to improve your football skills. I never thought I would ever play in university. Never thought it at all. I thought, you know, I'm not that level. I never thought I was capable. I always thought I was athletic enough, but I never thought I was a football player. And, you know, I you know, sent my highlight tape out. I literally just sent it out to schools. Just whoever would look at it, please. And I got a text from Coach V, and he said, hey, would you be interested in playing football in the fall? And I said, I texted him back, and I was kind of like, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be. I have to look at my acceptances. I'm waiting on an acceptance. I was waiting on a late acceptance for York. So I was waiting on that, and I said, you know, I can't sign or anything like that. I gotta wait until it's all clear. And, you know, I finally heard back, and I didn't get in to that one program at York, so I was like, oh, okay. So I texted him, and he said, you know, unfortunately, we filled the spot. And I was like, shoot. So the only option for me at that point was, he said, you know, you can walk on in the winter. So I said, all right. So then it was kind of that thinking process. Do I really want to play? Is it that important to me? And you know what? I did it. And I proved to myself, you know, I can play. I can do it at this level, and I deserve to be there. Not easy. Not an easy road. But definitely a fun one. I'll say that.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That's actually fun fact too. High school football in grade 9, where Jothan said he started, is where Jothan and I met each other.
That is, I don't know if I would have been friends with you, not because you're some weirdo or anything like that. Like, I mean, you're an interesting fella, but it's not a bad thing. no, but I don't know if I would have been necessarily close friends with you unless we had played football, because. Yeah. And this is a fun fact that Kiefer and I, since grade 9, we have missed one season of football to playing together in those, what is that, like 8 years?
Yeah, that's
8 years. We have played, we played grade 9, played grade 10. We did one season in high school. We did a season at Lions.
Grade 10
we
was did, that dub.
Yeah, we did grade 11. Two seasons together, grade 12, two seasons together, Super 12 or a 12, whatever you call it, victory lap year. We did two seasons together. We did our first season at Laurier together. Second season, you weren't there, but then we did our third season at Laurier. So we have played together. We have been on the same team for football for a long time.
It has been a long time. And
I'm sick of seeing your damn face.
Well, you know what? When we started, you didn't see my face. You saw my backside. As you said, that's my quarterback right there, and I was a blindside
tackle. You have to. Yeah, you got to explain that.
Yeah. Got to go in depth about that there. But
this not is... Not that kind of relationship.
No, whoa.
Nothing wrong with it, but not that kind of relationship.
Absolutely not. Actually, Jothan, what? Tell us about... You played a lot of positions, didn't you? Like
I have, yeah. So I was kind of everywhere. You know, the problem is when you're an athletic kid, you just get thrown different places. You don't necessarily. I didn't have the skill sets. I just had athleticism. So it was like, play quarterback. Okay, I can throw. Not necessarily an accurate thrower, but I can throw. Play running back. And okay, I can do that. I can run. I had so many fumbles. It was ridiculous.
Oh goodness.
And then it was play safety. You know, that's where I started to find a niche.
Oh, I still remember your big run. First year Lions together.
Yeah.
It was your first time playing running back, I believe it was.
Which one?
Because you had a huge run. It was, my God, I wish I could remember the team.
Was it the 50-yard one or the 70-yard one?
Was that in the same game?
It was the 70-yard one. That was the one where the power went out, remember?
Oh,
so man. I got the pitch, and boom, 71 yards.
Oh, yeah, that was
I think it was
crazy.
71 yards, yeah, to the house. It was
fun. And in high school, you played safety, and you had that one blitz. Tell me you remember that. Please tell me you
remember
that.
Which blitz?
Come on, tell me you remember that.
That was your
favorite thing to run. You'd always talk to coach saying, please let me do it.
It was the safety blitz, eh?
The free safety blitz. Oh, that was a staple. Sorry, I apologize.
You're reminiscing, eh?
You're talking about it there, and I was just thinking about those moments there. I was like, oh, gosh, does it bring back the memories? And again, I want to make sure I mention, at least in your case, of your huge comeback that you orchestrated against The team that was one of the nationally ranked, actually, at the time. You may or may not be familiar with them, the Jacob Hesper Hawks.
Yeah, I remember that. So in grade 10, you know, we were, it was a low scoring game. I think it was like 17 to like 7. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were able to complete the comeback. You know, I didn't do it by myself.
Where did we complete that comeback?
We did it here at Laurier. That was at University Stadium. You know, I felt so cool because it was like, you're in a university stadium. I was like, wow. But yeah, we completed an awesome comeback, and that's where we won our Wixa B championship. Unfortunately, that was the only thing we could compete for. You know, you don't get to choose which division you're in, but you know, we were able to win it. And yeah, I would love to take all the credit for it, but you know, our defense played outstanding that second half, did a bunch of awesome stuff. Yeah, no, it was great. I loved it. Great
win. Can't forget the fact somehow we forgot the trophy at the stadium, though. To this day, we haven't seen it. I'll never forget that. Never forget how our coach can manage to pull that one off. So, you know, that is phenomenal. But as you said, now it's post-football life. And, you know, what I really wonder is now that you're done football is, you know, what's life like now?
Yeah, no, it's weird. I think it's a little weird because you almost have... Don't get me wrong. You work out for personal reasons as well. You train hard for, you know, just for the love of yourself and committing to doing challenging things and pushing yourself. But, you know, there's a level of where, you know, there's not that same drive that, hey, there's football. There's not that same drive, like, I'm trying to be a better player on the field or anything like that. There's not that same drive. So I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It feels very different. And especially when you play at like the university level where there is really, you're committing a lot of time. You commit a lot of time, a lot of effort, mm-hmm. And attention to detail at your craft. And you know, you're like, wow, I have a skill set that is pretty irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got pretty good at pass rushing and I'm like, what am I going to use that? Trying to get through past somebody at the grocery store.
Yeah,
like,
I was thinking grocery store too.
That's excuse me, sir. Whoop. But you know, it brought a lot of good characteristics. So, for example, the work ethic that's involved with football, the time management that's involved with football, the you know, just looking at other people and saying, "How can I work with you?" Or trusting other people, saying, "You know what? I have a job to do. You have a job to do, and we're going to complete a task. And I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to micromanage you. I have to believe that you're going to do that." There's a lot of cool aspects and just characteristics that I feel like football has equipped me with. And you know, you hear it all the time when you're in lower level football. Football is like life. Football is like life. When you get smacked in the face, you have to learn how to pick yourself up. Mm. You got to learn how to, you know, look at different situations and say, what is the best outcome, not just for me, but for my team? How can I not necessarily do all the work to do it, but how can I help somebody else? How can I celebrate with other people? You know, there's a lot of awesome things that football teaches you. And, you know, I feel like I've really gained a lot of that. I really do feel like I've gained a lot of that. So sitting here now, I get to sit here and go, wow, I feel like I am not just a better football player for playing university football, but I'm a better person.
I love that. And one final one just to end off this piece today. You know, they always say that if I knew then what I know now, what I would do this. So I ask you, Jotham, you know, now that you're in your fourth year, and, you know, we can speak upon football or just, you know, even if you want life as a whole, what advice would you give to first-year Jotham, knowing now what you know about the university life as a whole?
I think, I mean, I don't know, actually. That's an interesting one because, you know, I think there's always things you want to change. Mm-hmm. And you often want to change the struggles to make them better. But I think there's a level where the struggles, they complete you as a person. They make you who you are because you have overcome them and you were able to get through them. They're more of a trophy to be like, this is what I was able to do, rather than a blemish saying, this is what happened to me. I think first year me, you know, I didn't do anything involved with football. come that first semester. So it was all school, and it was just like I was like a normal kid, normal university kid, where I'm just, you know, here playing football. Mm-hmm. But then I got started trying out, and you know, the morning lifts and everything started kicking my butt. I would tell myself, you know what, it's okay, but just focus on the fact that, you know, this hard time, this tough time, it's okay. And you know, for me, it was tough. It was really tough doing the football thing. I think one thing that some coaches are really good at is being brutally honest with you and cutting it to you straight. Mm-hmm. And that helps you to get an honest assessment of where you are. Mm-hmm. I think we often are bombarded with a lot of fluff.
Yeah.
And so sometimes having some people who will tell it to you straight, be like, no, you need to get better. You need to be better. It was helpful. So I think there's a lot of things where I don't necessarily think I would change them. I would definitely tell myself, just continue. Because first year me would never have thought that fourth year me would have been able to start games. I never would have imagined it. Heck, grade 11 me never thought that I would be playing in university. I didn't think that was an option for me. So it's just to look at yourself and saying, you know what? You can do a lot of awesome things, but you can apply. You just have to apply yourself, and then the ceiling's the limit. And I think it's something so corny that people tell you. It's like, reach for the stars, do this. You can do everything you put your mind to. But I think when you actually get there, you know, and I wasn't able to do it alone. I didn't do it alone. People were there to be alongside of me. You were there alongside of me the whole process. You watched me through the ups, the downs, and then the successes where, you know, even this season, this past season, it's like I start the season and then I lose my starting spot for a bunch of reasons. And, you know, yeah, it's tough, but, you know, it makes you who you are. It's not a blemish. It's a part of the story. Mm-hmm. But I would just say, you know, continue, because it's all worth it. I wouldn't change, honestly, some of the days where, you know, I hated it. Sometimes I hated it. I really did. But, you know, you go out there with a positive attitude. And I'll tell that to anybody. Do it. Focus on the long-term goal. Do it with a positive attitude. And, you know, good things. Because, you know, there were days, yeah, it was scout team and I'm running somebody else's plays. I never ran our own defense. And, you know, but I did it with a smile. Do it with a smile and continue to work hard. And may not come, but enjoy it. Enjoy it. Stop and smell the flowers.
Exactly. That's beautiful. And thank you so much for taking this time. I mean, you're always here with us, but, you know, for taking extra
time. Took time out of my busy schedule to do this show with you.
To, you know, give us a little insight on the life of Jotan. That about wraps it up for this week's episode.
Don't forget next week. Hey, next time we're gonna get you.
We'll get to me.
We're gonna delve deep into the fibers that makes Kiefer Whitehead tick.
Oh boy, well that'll be something intriguing. That's for sure.
Is that we're gonna delve deep? You like those words? Delve deep.
Oh my gosh, the double D. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, folks. We always appreciate your support, and we'll catch you guys next week.